Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Sean Hyken. He covers the NBA at large for Bleacher Report and other outlets. How you doing, bud?
I'm all right. This is my first time being on one of these Locked On podcasts in a while. I think you and I did one when I was still hosting Locked On Bulls. During the Rondo Wade year, I think you and I did one then.
Yeah, I think there was some Rondo stuff, and back then the Lakers and Bulls, I think, were in the same kind of spot. So it was just kind of fun to commiserate about how terrible the teams that we covered were.
The Bulls made the playoffs that year, so but there was that was the year that Wade and Rondo went off on the young guys, and then Rondo had the Instagram post, or Wade and Jimmy did, and then Rondo had the Instagram post.
Oh,
and
that was the Jimmy year. Okay, all right. It's all been a blur, frankly.
Yeah, the Rondo. I'm sure we'll talk about Rondo later because I covered him, and now the Lakers have him. So that's going to be a whole thing. But yeah, tomorrow night.
Yeah, well, that's the reason I have Sean on here is he's covering Portland, and he's going to be in Portland for the game, hopefully, and he's going to be watching for Bleacher Report, and it's going to be an interesting game. I don't think the Lakers have a snowball's chance in hell because they already play poorly in Portland, and because of the passing of Paul Allen, I think the crowd is going to be absolutely ballistic. I also think Portland is in a more predictable spot right now. I mean, they have a lot of their roster back from last year. And so we're going to talk a little bit about the game. We're going to look at some big issue stuff here regarding where both teams currently sit. There was the whole LeBron wants to play with Damian Lillard thing. We'll touch on that. We'll touch on, as Sean said, Rajon Rondo. So fun show. You guys know where to find us. You guys know where to find the show. Today's show is brought to you in part by Mazuma. More on them in a bit. Let's start here. So the Lakers are hoping to get into the playoffs, but if they're going to get in, they were going to need somebody to fall out. Previously, before Jimmy Butler decided he was going to bring ESPN to practice, and and before San Antonio started losing point guards, the team that a lot of people kind of pointed to was Portland because of the whole regression thing. A lot of things went in their way last year, but even before we get to the way things kind of sit now, when that was the analysis, how did you feel about that analysis of Portland specifically?
Well, for starters, I thought Minnesota was going to be the team that fell out long before Jimmy Butler actually publicly demanded a trade, because I had heard stuff through. I mean, you know, I covered Jimmy in Chicago. I covered Tibbs in Chicago. I still kind of hear things about what's going on there. I kind of had heard for a while behind the scenes that there was some not great stuff going on between Jimmy and Kat, and that situation seemed like it could have imploded at some point. And so, like, I was already kind of out on Minnesota. And so I thought the Lakers were going to get into the playoffs regardless of what happened with Portland. But yeah, I mean, here's the thing, though. Like, when you look at what all of the other teams in the West did, and obviously, like you said, this is before San Antonio's injuries to DeJounte Murray and Lonnie Walker and Derek White. Like, I thought that San Antonio was still going to be in after the Kawhi Leonard trade. You know, they won 47 games last year with no Kawhi, and, you know, DeMar DeRozan is, you know, for whatever people think about his game, you know, he's an all-star, you know, he's a 20-point-a-game scorer. Like, he's a guy that is going to help you win. Mm-hmm. So I thought they were going to be in. I thought Denver was going to be better just because they only missed the playoffs by one game last year and Paul Millsap missed half the season. Yep. And then you look at, you know, you've got, you know, the Warriors aren't going anywhere. Houston's not going anywhere. Utah's not going anywhere. OKC's not going anywhere. I'm still high on New Orleans. Like, I just kind of thought, because if you look at these other teams, they all either stayed the same or got better. And Portland didn't really, like, they lost Ed Davis. They let Ed Davis walk in free agency. And that was both from a locker room standpoint. He was like everybody's favorite guy on the team. You saw those tweets that Dame had after they let him walk. He was not happy about them letting him go. And then also on the court, like, he's a guy, you know, Ed Davis is like one of the most dependable guys in the league. You know what you're going to get out of him on a night to night basis. He's just going to come in. He's going to play defense. He's going to rebound. He's going to do the dirty work. And then, you know, you lose a guy like that. They didn't really replace him. And then they're basically additions to the team are two rookies and then Seth Curry and Nick Stauskas. And like that, and like, that's your offseason. And I think it's more so like, it's not so much like, oh, this team is is so, you know, so much worse that they're going to be out of the playoffs. It's that they didn't get better, and most of the other teams either stayed the same or got better, and the Blazers lost one of their key rotation players.
Ed Davis, I mean, we had Ed Davis out here in L.A. for a bit, and he was popular out here. And, yeah, when he departed
– He's a
– Well, go ahead.
Both in terms of his game and in terms of, like, his reputation, I kind of liken him to, like Taj Gibson. He's just, like, every one of his teammates loves him. He's, like, unselfish. He doesn't complain about his role ever. He comes off the bench. He's super reliable. You know exactly what you're going to get out of him on a night-to-night basis. Coaches love him. Fans love – like – Ed Davis is a guy that when you let – like, every team in the league would be better for having Ed Davis than not having Ed Davis. That was a great pickup for Brooklyn, obviously. And, you know, I thought, you know, the Blazers – and then, you know, like I said, when you factor in how much Dame liked him, you saw Dame and CJ both tweeted, like, right after the news came out that he was going to sign in Brooklyn, that you saw they both were unhappy about it. And so that's the kind of thing where it's like, maybe that's not the thing to do. And then they didn't really do much to replace him.
Yeah, that's the big key there, is that, okay, if you're going to lose a guy like that, what are you going to do to bolster that rotation? And I didn't see it there. And then, I mean, look, it's like I said at the beginning, they got fairly – they had that crazy win streak. And look, you play who is sitting in front of you.
Sure.
And at that stage of the NBA season, everybody is banged up. But they had a little bit of luck in terms of some of the teams that they were playing against, and it got them all the way up to the three seed. And then we saw how it worked out in the playoffs. So I kind of wondered heading in – I was one of the people who kind of thought maybe they would regress. I had them pegged as a team that might kind of fall out a little bit. And then San Antonio, I was a little dubious about, because of there was just so much turnover for an organization that hasn't gone through that kind of thing before. So those were the two teams. And then now the math behind everything is really different. And I think both the Lakers and Portland, health notwithstanding, can both kind of get in there. And it actually kind of gets us ready for a really interesting game tomorrow night, or by the time everybody is listening to this tonight. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick second here, and when we come back, we're going to talk about this game specifically, and then in the final segment, we'll get to some of the bigger picture issues. It's been a long day. Hang tight. Today's show is brought to you in part by Mazuma. I'm here to talk to you about Mazuma USA. They have been incredible, as I like to say. And look, the praise that I give is effusive, and it's that way for a reason. They have kept track of receipts. They have kept track of bookkeeping and expenses and all these things. And come tax season, as an independent contractor, I have to file quarterlies. They have walked me through those steps to make sure that that's efficient as possible. I have a specified consultant who puts together and makes sure that I'm in constant communication with this team that they have given me. And that all starts, all those services start at $75 a month. So what I'm going to do is give you a number, and you're going to call this number, and you're going to get a free consultation to figure out what package best suits your business needs. Because at the end of the day, like, you want to be able to focus on the passion that led you to go into that business in the first place. So here's the number, 213-947-6926. Again, that's 213-947-6926. Give them a call. It's a free consultation, no strings attached. Once they figure out what's the best package for you, you guys move forward, and I hope they help you out. So give them a call, Mazuma USA, your small business's one-stop shop for bookkeeping, taxes, and unlimited accounting advice. So there have been a couple rules over the course of my lifetime as somebody who watched the Lakers. One, we can't guard quicker, smaller point guards. Like, that's just always been a thorn in the Lakers organization's side. When Magic was there, when they went through the three-peat and Phil Jackson preferred bigger guards, when they had the back-to-back titles and it was again Phil Jackson, he preferred bigger guards. That was just always a thing. And then the other thing was that the Lakers just could not win in Portland. It's a tough place to go in and play a basketball game. And like I said a second ago, all of the variables here are pointing in the way of a highly emotional Portland crowd, and for the right reasons. Like, if you're listening to this and you're a Blazers fan, my heart goes out to you. I remember where I was when Dr. Jerry Buss passed, and mm-hmm. it was kind of it, it look, obviously, I never met Dr. Buss. I never came close to meeting Dr. Buss. But a lot of my fondest memories of as a kid were of, hey, the Lakers played a huge role in my adolescent life, and all of the success that they had something to do with this guy. So in some way, shape, or form, this guy was something of like a family friend, as I would put it. So my heart goes out to everybody who is going through that now with Paul Allen, who by all reports and accounts was a really good dude. So
yeah.
I never
met Paul Allen.
Yeah.
Because by the time I was, getting into, covering games and going to games, his health was kind of in the place where he wasn't going to as many games as he was. But yeah, I mean, it's the exact same thing that you were talking about with Dr. Buss. I was, Paul Allen bought the Blazers in 1988. I was born in 1989. So I have literally never been alive when Paul Allen wasn't mm-hmm. the owner of the Blazers. And the thing, I think the biggest thing, first of all, Paul Allen has donated hundreds of millions of dollars over the years to various causes, cancer mm-hmm. research, brain research, all kinds of stuff. He's done a lot of good for the world with his platform, even besides, what he's done as the owner of the Blazers. So there's that to start with.
Yep.
But, as an owner of the Blazers, like, when you own a team like the Portland Trailblazers, you don't have the kind of built-in advantages that the Lakers do when it comes to you play in LA, you are this historic franchise with all this, like, and the Blazers never really operated like a small market team in terms of like you never heard about them saying, oh, we can't afford this guy, we can't mm-hmm. afford that guy, we can't afford to do this. Paul
Almost
Allen was
to a fault nowadays, right? With the
well, right. obviously some of those contracts they signed this pat into 2016 don't look that great right now, but yeah. the fact that when you compare that to like some other small market owners like Oklahoma City, for example, right, where like yeah. they traded James Harden because they didn't want to go into the luxury tax, and then yep. he turns into an MVP when he gets to Houston. Paul Allen never operated as if he was in a small market team that had as if he owned a small market team that had small market disadvantages. He was always maybe part of it was because he made all his money off Microsoft, so he had literally unlimited amounts of money to play with, and so it was like it was literally never an issue for him, and he just owned the Trailblazers because he loved basketball. So that was
I believe he's one of the first owners to ever put to buy a jet, private jet for yeah. the organization. Like I think he yeah, might he be the first.
Yeah, I think he was too. He was one of the first ones to do that. He was he was one of the first owners that said like, look, we're gonna have first class facilities for all our players. We're gonna do everything like that the right way. We're gonna because all these ex players, you've seen the outpouring of people who have played for the Blazers over the years. They all said that he was that he was a great owner to play for. They treated everybody really well as an organization. And the fact is, for a small market team like this, he owned the team for 30 years. They made the playoffs in 23 out of those 30 years. Like outside of San Antonio, that's pretty unprecedented for a small market that doesn't mm-hmm. really – for a market that doesn't get big-time free agents like in a bigger market or a team like that. So you can't really look at anything Paul Allen did and say, oh, he didn't do a great job owning the team, especially in that market.
Yeah, I my hat goes off to Paul Allen, and look, I mean, right now in this country, there's a conversation about billionaires in general, but by those standards, Paul Allen really shines through. If you really compare him to other billionaires out there, so
see, that's the thing. If we're kind of grading it on a curve, and like I'm sure if I looked into it, Paul Allen would probably have some political donations or something that I don't love, but because like I feel like. When you're saying like who is the best sports owner, like you're kind of grading on a curve because yeah. it's impossible to make that much money without having some flaws of some kind. Like you don't get to be that rich without being a certain level of cutthroat and ways that may be problematic. But when you compare him to the Donald Sterlings and the James Dolans and like all whatever other owners you want to name who maybe have nefarious ways that they made their money, or Dan Gilbert basically made all his money in the housing crisis in 2000, like all this kind of stuff, like Paul Allen checks out pretty well by those standards.
Absolutely. Let's take a quick second here to talk about the game before this game specifically and the matchup here. Awkward segue is the only way I do it. Portland presents an interesting matchup to me for one reason and really one reason alone. I think the Lakers are really going to struggle with Nurkic. He's a big physical force, and the Lakers this year have really struggled to keep opposing teams off of the glass. Like I think they rebounded at a rate – like per 36 or per 100 possessions, worse than some of the like the Australian teams that participated in NBA in preseason NBA stuff.
Sure.
They've tried to go with this super small lineups when JaVale McGee isn't on the court, and it's kind of come back to bite them. And any minutes that Nurkic is on the court when the Lakers don't have their, in this case, JaVale, their lone traditional big that I can actually feel confident about, like that's going to get them into some troubles. But on the other side of that, though, I kind of think that, you know, the way that the Lakers want to run might give Nurkic some issues. How do you see that kind of thing coming together?
Well, like you said, I think both of these teams, especially now that, you know, Ed Davis is off the team. Like we said, like the Blazers, Nurkic is really the only traditional center the Blazers have too, unless you think Caleb Swanigan is going to get a lot of minutes, because Myers Leonard, you know, they still want to play him kind of out on the 3-point line. You know, Zach Collins is also a guy who can step out and shoot. So that's, you know, it's going to be a thing. But yeah, Nurkic is a guy that in the right matchup, and I think this might be the right matchup for him, he can give people problems.
Yep. Yeah. He's going to be tough to watch. And look, if he gets JaVale into any kind of foul trouble, this game could get out of hand quick.
Yeah. Well, I think before we go further, I think we have to. I mean, I know you said you agree that you think the Lakers aren't going to win. The biggest reason I think the Lakers are not going to win tomorrow, I mean, just both of the last two times, LeBron has changed teams. It's been such a spectacle. His first game with Miami, like it's the whole, you know, and that was at obviously a different point in his career. Everybody hated him for the decision, and they did that, you know, the welcome party. And so, of course, there was like that huge target on his back when, you know, they play the Celtics in that first game, and then they lose.
Yeah.
And it, you know, and everybody's like, oh, well, what's wrong with the Heat? What's wrong with the Heat? And then you know, once you get that out of the way, then they beat the Sixers the next night, and then obviously it took them a little bit of time to get their act together, but you know, they get the first game out of the way, they lose, and then they win the second game. And then when he goes back to Cleveland, it's the most emotional thing, you know, for him, because it's going home. They get killed by the Knicks in that game, and then they beat the Bulls in overtime the next night. I think this is going to be the same thing, and especially when you talk about, you know, on the road in Portland with the Paul Allen thing being in the air in terms of, you know, the emotional atmosphere, and then also just, you know, the way the Blazers fans always kind of get up against the Lakers anyway. Plus, you know, it's LeBron's first time playing with this new team with all these parts, and we don't know how well they fit together. I think it's like the biggest lock that they lose tomorrow, just for all those reasons.
Yeah, yeah. My thing is just keep it close. Like that's all I'm hoping to see is just keep it close. I don't need to deal with all of the, oh, there go the Lakers, they're not going to make the playoffs, this is a disaster kind of things. Like I'd rather avoid those kinds of takes at the end of the night. We're going to take one quick second here, and when we come back, I want to talk about some more big picture stuff, starting with LeBron reportedly wanting to play with Damian Lillard, and a take that might not be popular, but I think it just kind of makes sense here. So let's come back to that here in a second. So this was funny to me. The reaction to LeBron reportedly wanting to play with Damian Lillard was funny to me, because I just thought to myself, like, well, yeah, of course LeBron wants to play with Damian Lillard, who is an all-star, who is a big name, who can shoot and spread the floor for him, who has had postseason success probably while LeBron was watching from wherever he was sitting during those games. Like, yes, he's going to want to play. That's the kind of player LeBron is probably going to play with. He probably didn't, you know, stay up late at night over the last year or so thinking to himself, all right, how can I play with Lonzo Ball? Like, I don't think that was something that was in the back of his mind. And yet people were kind of freaking out, like, oh, this is it. This is what we were expecting. LeBron doesn't want to play with the kids. And like, for one thing, and I think this is the right place to start here, is it's just not going to happen.
Well, first of all, it's not a new thing
that
LeBron wants to play with Damian Lillard. I remember very clearly, I think it was February or March, they played, the Cavs played in Portland, and someone at Shootaround asks LeBron if he thinks Dame is underrated, or I forget what the exact question is, and he said something like, give me Damian Lillard. I'll show you how underappreciated he is. Yeah, and of course, all the Blazers fans were joking about it, like, oh, well, that means LeBron is signing in Portland. Like that was kind of the direction people went with it then. But why would LeBron not want to play with a guy like Damian Lillard? You know, yeah, he's a good teammate, good locker room guy. He's unselfish. He hits clutch shots. Dame is the model of, and I wrote this a couple weeks ago when I wrote a story on Bleacher Report about kind of Dame's extension situation that could be coming up if he makes another all-NBA team, which, you know, maybe we can get into or whatever. But like, mm-hmm, it on and off the court, Dame is like the model of what you want a franchise player to be. And so LeBron is a student of the game. LeBron understands kind of, you know, basically Dame in terms of like what, like the fit next to LeBron. Dame is basically what LeBron had in Cleveland with Kyrie without the, you know, the weird, like, oh, it has to be my team type of thing.
Yeah. I the way I would kind of describe Dame is like, he's your favorite player's favorite point guard.
Yeah.
Like he's that kind of player.
Yeah. He's unselfish. He's low maintenance and but he's also willing to, you know, he'll step up. He'll hit hits clutch shots in his career. Like that's what he's done through his whole career. But he doesn't have the kind of ego where he's like, oh, it has to be my team. Like he's always happy when, you know, when CJ is going off, he'll let CJ go off when somebody else, like I feel like Dame would probably like to play with LeBron too. Like Dame's whole thing is, you know, he wants to win. He wants to play with other players who want to win. So I think it would be a mutual thing. Those two would want to play together. But obviously when something like that gets reported, and obviously, and especially when it comes from somebody like Zach Lowe, who is one of the most credible guys out there, who doesn't just like make stuff up or throw stuff like that out there if there's not something to it. Like, obviously people are going to remember that. Oh, well, does that mean Dame is going to get traded to the Lakers? Like LeBron's saying he wants to play with a guy. Like, I'm sure LeBron would love to play with Giannis too. I'm sure LeBron would love to play with Anthony Davis. I'm sure you could name like 10 guys. Like, I'm sure LeBron would love to play with James Harden. I'm sure he's probably said, oh yeah, it would be cool to play with that guy. But that doesn't mean that like there's any real feasible way that that could happen. So I think as far as actual trade rumors and stuff, like it's kind of overblown because I don't think the Blazers are going to be trading Dame anytime soon, and we can get into that. But like, it doesn't surprise me at all that Dame is a guy that LeBron can look at and say, you know, I wouldn't mind playing with a guy like that. And I'm sure vice versa, LeBron or Dame probably feels the same way about LeBron.
Yeah, it turns out good players want to play with other good players. Like, yeah. Breaking. I want to get into you alluded to the Blazers probably not trading Dame anytime soon, and you talked a lot about the stuff that he does on and off the court and him being kind of the ideal franchise player. I think that kind of goes without saying. But the other thing too is there's just so much, like right now would be the worst possible time to trade Dame, right? Like, I can't think of a worse time to move the guy.
Right, and especially, you know, tying back into the conversation about Paul Allen, all the reporting that's come out about what's going to happen with the Blazers is that, because Paul Allen was not married, he didn't have kids, he doesn't have, you know, have kids or family to leave his stuff to. Mm-hmm. His sister is his next of kin, and so his sister is going to inherit all of his estate. And everything that I've read from people who are pretty plugged in with Vulcans, with his company, she would be much more interested in retaining control of the Seahawks and running the Seahawks, and doesn't really have much interest in being the owner of the Trailblazers, because you know their whole family's in Seattle. Like, so it's basically like it's a matter of when, not if, as far as the team getting sold.
Yeah.
Now, as far as like, you know, whoever comes in and buys the team, I have no idea who that's going to be. Obviously, whenever the NBA has a list of, you know, candidates, rich people and ownership groups, right? Because like there is a ton of people, because the NBA is making so much money right now. The NBA is doing so well. There are a ton of people who have gone to the league and said, hey, you know, the next time a team comes available, keep me in mind. And there's probably people that the league has in mind as like, this person we would be okay with owning a team, because they have to do all this vetting and making sure that their money is legit and all this kind of stuff.
Yep.
And so whoever buys the team, you know, they're going to
want
to get up.
Dame.
Well, A, you're going to want Dame because it makes the team more valuable when you have a marketable star like that, because Dame is basically one of the faces of Adidas. Mm-hmm. And he, you know, he's in commercials. He's a guy that, like, Dame is a guy that casual fans who like only watch national games and only follow like the most casual NBA conversations, Dame is a guy that those kinds of fans know who he is. And when you have one of those types of guys, in a small market. And especially, I mean, it's not even like he's out here saying, oh, you know, I don't want to be like every time he's been asked about it, he's said, you know, I want to be in Portland. I don't want to be traded. I don't want to just go and join a super team. Like, and obviously it's not the first time in the world that a player has said that and then changed his mind later. I'm not saying that him saying that right now means that he won't ever, because I'm sure right now, Anthony Davis, when he says, you know, I want to be in New Orleans, I'm sure right now Anthony Davis truly wants to be in New Orleans. I'm sure at this second, if you ask Giannis, he does truly want to stay in Milwaukee for the rest of his career. That doesn't mean that's going to be how he feels in a year. I mean, the same is true about Dame. But like, when you have a guy at that level in a small market where you're not going to get free agents, you have a guy at that level who wants to be there, you don't trade him.
Yeah, I think that's the, especially in the small market thing, can't be overlooked. The fact that the guy is like a bona fide superstar, not just in terms of playing ability, but also from a standpoint of like marketability. When you're a small market and you have that kind of player who is as popular as Dame is, you don't mess with that. Like it might mean that you might put a ceiling on what your team might be able to do down the road and all that stuff. And that's a separate conversation all of onto its own. But for right now, like if you're the Allen family and you're trying to figure out how best to move forward, you want to sell with Dame in there because he is as marketable. He's going to help you sell because of how marketable he is. If you're buying the team, you would like to have Dame there because of, again, how marketable he is. So it's just
when you buy the team, Paul Allen was, by and large, I mean, obviously there were times when people kind of were annoyed with him with the way he would like fire GMs on a whim and stuff. But like, by and large, Paul Allen was, when you compare how certain other fan bases feel about their team's owners, like compared with like how the Knicks fans feel about James Dolan or something like that, or like with some of these, or the way Suns fans feel about Robert Sarver, some of these more unpopular owners, Paul Allen was very well liked by Blazers fans because he spent money. He was invested in making the team competitive every year. And, you know, he donated a whole bunch of money to charity and all this kind of stuff. Anybody new who buys the team is going to have some big shoes to fill, and they need to get off on the right foot with the fan base. And the worst way to do that would be to say, we're going to trade Damian Lillard, who's the most popular player that we've had since Clyde Drexler.
Yeah, since Brandon Roy, right?
the short-lived Brandon Roy era. Damian Lillard, this is the first time since Clyde Drexler that we've had like a top 10 player in the league, top 10-ish, like maybe he's not exactly top 10, but like in that kind of general range. Like, this is the first time we've had a guy at that level. He wants to be here. He's still in his prime. If you're a new owner coming in, like, that would be the worst way to make a first impression with a fan base. So like, just, you know, we can talk about all this hypothetical, like, you know, LeBron, Dame, Lakers stuff. There is just, I just don't see any scenario in which the Blazers actually trade Dame anytime soon. Like, that's just not going
to
happen.
Yeah, me neither. Though, if there was a player that you might want to, if you're moving Dame and keeping CJ McCollum, I think Lonzo Ball is the kind of player that you'd be interested in, right? Like, that's a defensive-minded point guard who doesn't really need the ball as much. You'd hope that his shot comes around at some point, but that, like, that kind of player is the kind of guy that you'd be interested in if you're just looking for like the foundations of a trade scenario. I just don't see it. Like, it's hard for me even put together a trade package knowing that I just don't see Damian Lillard being moved. Last thing here before we get out of here, when it comes to the Trailblazers, we've talked about, you know, their chances of maybe getting into the playoffs. We've talked about the whole Dame situation and all these things. My question here is, like, beyond, and it's impossible to really factor or to really know this given what you just said about the ownership situation, but like, what's Portland's goals this year? Like, what are they? Are they, you know, get back to the playoffs, maybe win a playoff series? Is that like the extent of their expectations? Like, if you were just a straight fan, what would you hope to see from the Trailblazers this year?
I think best case scenario, the Blazers are what they were last year. They'll be a very good regular season team. Because here's the thing, like, I don't think we're going to see the Blazers, even if like they regress a little bit, like we were saying they might. I think regression might be they win a number of games in the mid to high 40s, as opposed to like, you're not going to see that. Like, I look at the Blazers, like, Dame and CJ, like you were just saying earlier, like you can put a ceiling on how good the team can be with those two as your best players. But they also have a very high floor. Like if those two guys are healthy, yeah, the Blazers are not going to win 35 games.
Yep.
You know, they're going to win. They're going to at least be competitive. They're going to, and you know, I think there's also something to be said for, you know, as much as, you know, we just said, you know, they lost Ed Davis, but there's still a lot of continuity there. It's mostly the same roster as last year, and they brought back Terry Stotts, who's now one of the longest tenured coaches in the league at this point, because isn't there's been wild? So much turnover. It is wild. He was hired in 2012, but you know, he's a guy that Dame really likes Stotts. Like, you know, Neil Olshey has defended him at every turn. All the players like him. He's on the same page with everybody. When you have a coach that people like, who's been there for a while, and most of the same players who have gotten used to playing with each other for a while, and you've got a guy like Dame who just generally is a guy that players like playing with and will rally around and that kind of stuff, and is a good leader and a good locker room guy. Like, they're going to be good. I don't think they're going to be bad. They're going to be good. Whether, you know, we talk about them getting the third seed last year. The difference between the third seed and the ninth seed in the playoffs last year in the West was like two or three games. Like,
yeah.
So, you know, they got the third seed, but they could have easily missed the playoffs if they had lost like two more games. So even saying that they'll go, they were the third seed. Because last year in the West, it was Houston, Golden State, and then there was like a huge gap, and then everybody else was kind of clustered together. I kind of think the same thing is going to happen. Like, yeah. to me, there's five locks to make the playoffs this year. I think Golden State, Houston, Utah, OKC, and the Lakers, just because, you know, I realize everybody has concerns about the Lakers roster. Until it happens, I am not going to predict a team that has LeBron James on it to miss the playoffs. Like, I'm sorry, I'm just not going
to
do that.
That's such a great way to look stupid down. Like,
right, it's just like when people say, oh, well, I think this is the year the Spurs are going to, and I'm just going to be like, okay, you can do that if you want, but like, until it actually happens, I'm not going to be the one that goes on record picking it. Like, LeBron is still the best player in the world, and my other thing with the Lakers is, and I'm sure you guys have talked about this a million times on Locked On Lakers since all these moves went down. If you look at the last 4 years of LeBron in Cleveland, there have been huge changes during the season with the roster. Like the first mm-hmm. year, you know, they have that weird first month, and then LeBron takes a sabbatical, and they do the Mozgov and Shumpert and JR trades, and then the team gets totally reinvented, and then Mozgov is a huge player for them in the playoffs that year. The second year, they get Channing Frye, and he becomes a big reason why they beat the Warriors in the finals. The third year, they trade for Kyle Korver, who has some big games in the playoffs, and then last year, they traded literally two-thirds of their team at the trade deadline. What the Lakers are today going into the first game of the season is not what the Lakers are going to be in April. And like, they're going to do something. They're going to either, they're going to do a trade. They're going to use some of these 1 year contracts like Lance or Rondo or KCP or whoever that they signed. They're going to use those to get somebody, or they're going to be one of the more attractive destinations in the buyout market. Like I was watching this Phoenix game tonight, and you know, Trevor Ariza looked really good. Like, there's no chance that Trevor Ariza is still on the Suns in March. He's going to get bought out, and he's going to go to like the Lakers or the Warriors. Like they're going to get a good player or two who's actually going to be an impact guy on the buyout market. Like their team is going to look a lot different.
Yeah.
Especially if not just start slow,
but if they just kind of trudge through the season and it just looks like, for example, right now, you and I both know and probably agree that they need a big outside of JaVale McGee. Like it's the most apparent roster flaw. I would say it's up there among all of them with any playoff team, that the Lakers need a backup center. Or
for
maybe
the money that he signed for, by the way, why didn't they just keep Brook Lopez? He would have been a perfect fit next to LeBron.
That's been the top question. It was a matter of Brook Lopez not wanting to be back. He was not pleased with how it went down last year.
That's fair enough. But I agree with you. They need another big. Like, they, I don't know who there is going to be out there, but because most of the guys I can think of, like Trevor Ariza, Ryan Anderson, they're going to be guys like that in the market, but like most, they need another center. I don't know who that's going to be.
Tyson Chandler.
No, there you go. Like he'd be great on the Lakers. That's another guy, and you know, he's in the last year of his contract. I'm sure he would like to go play for a contender since he's kind of nearing the end of his run. Like I'm sure he'd, you know, he would love that. No, that's exactly who I would actually go out on a limb and say I think that there's probably a more likely than not chance that Tyson Chandler does end up on the Lakers before the end of the year, because Phoenix, like, they did these deals with, you know, They traded for Ryan Anderson. They signed Ariza. They thought they were going to try to make the playoffs. Obviously, there's no chance that happens. So by March, they're going to be, you know, buying these guys out and playing their young guys. Yeah. So
if they can land like a conditional second rounder for any of these guys too, like that's the
sure.
Any smart team, that's how they handle the first stages or the continued stages of a rebuild, right?
Well, the problem is nobody has cap space to take on a contract like the Tyson Chandler contract. Yeah. By the way, DeAndre Ayton looked awesome tonight. I don't know if you watched
it. That was fun. It was good to see. Doncic didn't look great, but I think it's going to take a little bit of time. I was a little concerned about him in the summer, but now that he has somebody in Devin Booker who A, gives him space, mm-hmm. and B, kind of sort of knows how to get him the ball, like it turns out that's really important for a big.
Yeah, no, I think he's really good. You know who really impressed me tonight is Mo Bamba. I don't know if you watched any of that
mm-hmm.
game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's not going to be coming off the bench for particularly.
No, he's not. That's a team. I'm really. Like, the Magic are not going to be good. They're going to have another, like, 25-win season or whatever. I really love their group long – like, those three guys long term. I actually think that that Bamba, Isaac, and Gordon can play together. Like, I think you can – like, all three of them are so long and so versatile. Like, you can switch them on to, like guarding different positions. Like, I think that group might actually work. The problem with them right now is just that DJ Augustine is their starting point guard, and that's just not what you want.
Yeah. Yeah, I just think if you just stagger those guys and you play and you give them each like 30-ish minutes or so, you can make that work for sure.
Right, I think the Magic definitely have something, and Steve Clifford is also a really good coach. He got a lot out of some of those mediocre rosters that he had in Charlotte. Like, I think that team is kind of interesting.
Steve Clifford out here. He was.
Yeah, no, assistant. He was right. Because he was in Orlando, and then they hired him because I remember this because he was. That was the summer that Dwight got traded to the Lakers was the same summer that the Blazers hired Terry Stotts as their head coach. And Steve Clifford was one of the other finalists that they interviewed. And so he was a guy that, you know, he had just been this assistant in Orlando and he was very well regarded as a defensive coach. And so he was the guy that kind of a lot of fans wanted because he had kind of more of a track record of being, you know, an assistant coach on good teams. And at that point, Terry Stotts' reputation was like, okay, he was the coach of the Bucks. He was a coach of the Hawks. Neither of those teams were very good. Obviously he's been terrific since he got here. But at the time, I think the fan consensus was they wanted them to hire Steve Clifford. And then once the Dwight Howard Lakers trade happened, the Lakers hired him. And then, you know, they fired Stan Van Gundy that same summer. And so all those coaches were kind of out there. Then they hired Steve Clifford on the Lakers because he was, you know, he was one of Dwight's guys. And so I remember that whole thing. Yeah. And then I think it was the next summer that he got the Charlotte job.
Yeah. Well, cause he was the interim for the Lakers for a little bit. And then they,
No. Bernie Bickerstaff was the interim when they fired Mike Brown.
Well, I think it was a weird dynamic. I know that Clifford handled a game or two. Maybe
D'Antoni had like his health problems or whatever.
Yeah,
but
it was a weird.
They fired Mike Brown and then Bernie Bickerstaff was the interim until they hired D'Antoni.
Bernie Bickerstaff has the greatest win-loss record in the history of the Lakers as a head coach, but Mike D'Antoni when they hired him was dealing with a knee.
He just
replacement.
Had like a hip replacement.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, and so Clifford stuck around and had a couple games while D'Antoni would recuperate and stuff. So,
who's your kind of under the radar team to watch this year? Because that Orlando team, like I said, they're going to be really bad, but I'm actually really intrigued by them.
Well,
so
who's
your team like that?
They aren't going to be really bad, but I can't. Get enough New Orleans Pelican stock.
Oh, absolutely.
I cannot. I'm going to refinance the house. Like
yeah.
they're going to be really good this year. We were talking about this before the show. Like they took apart the Houston Rockets and it wasn't like everybody was firing on all cylinders. Now, a lot of them played well obviously, but they were just getting good shots and poor Houston was just there were stretches where they started possessions with James Harden guarding Julius Randle. And New Orleans just kind of crossed half court and said, oh, well, okay. And the ball would just go into Randle. And if he didn't get all the way to the rim, they would force a double and somebody would dive to the basket or they would get a corner three. And it was just they just picked them completely apart. And Houston, I'm down on Houston. But yeah, that's New Orleans is going to be good. And I think that whole Julius Randle thing is going to wind up looking kind of bad for the Lakers.
Yeah, no, I actually think that's a good fit. I think he's going to be a good fit for them. I'm kind of – the Clippers kind of impressed me tonight too, even though they lost to Denver. I think Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is – like I really liked him coming out of the draft. He's a guy that I thought he looked really good tonight. So that's a team – I don't know if they're necessarily a playoff team just because the West is so crowded, but they're interesting to me.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, man. Well, this was a lot of fun. So thanks for hopping on. We can find you on Twitter at Hyken still, right?
Yes. That's still my Twitter handle. I'm never giving that up. I had to fight to get it. I'm never giving it up.
It's a good one. I'm a little jealous. Although Irwin isn't a good name to go with that for. But
you could try to if you really want to flex, you could try to just get the at Anthony handle. But that's probably some famous person. There's probably like
Mark Anthony or something.
Right? Like Mark Anthony probably has it. Like I'm surprised Anthony Davis doesn't. Like there are some guys like DeAndre Jordan has DeAndre. Did you know that?
Yeah, and I think Andre Iguodala just has Andre.
Andre Iguodala has Andre. Like there are definitely like. Billy
well,
Corgan.
There's a huge champagne company out there that's Andre Champagne. He has Andre.
That's a flex. Billy Corgan has Billy, I'm pretty sure.
That's really good. That's amazing. Yeah. But yeah, at Hyken on Twitter, find his stuff on Bleacher Report. And if you're out there and you're looking for a writer, freaking hire Hyken already. Like, why? This shouldn't have taken this long already. So best of luck on the rest of the season, Sean. And thanks for hopping on with us. And we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, absolutely. It was good to talk to you, man.